You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Words can inspire, words can enrage, words can move us beyond. This is Speaking of Poetry with Ms. Vernell, heard only on Talktainment Radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Speaking of Poetry. I'm Ms. Vernell, and this is radio, the way it should be heard.
In an Albuquerque, New Mexico home, five were found dead, three of whom were children, the suspect a 15-year-old. And Michelle Obama cut bangs. The woman in the salon chair next to her is reported as saying, "She got that good hair." Notre Dame football standout Mati Te'o admitted that his online girlfriend never existed. Speaking of fake, stay tuned to our 9 o'clock hour. We're trying faux bangs, the latest in hair accessories, extensions. Look like the first lady without the commitment. Danse Nouvelle Internationale. Première dame des États-Unis coupe une frange. Voulez-vous couper une frange avec elle ce soir? The first bangs were spotted shopping at a local Target without Secret Service protection. There was civil unrest in the Gaza Strip. A member of Hamas is quoted as saying, "Bangs? Why is her hair showing? Where is her burqa?" The CDC released the names of three people who died due to complications of the flu. Bang fever. Are you at risk? How to spot it when others have it and treat it if it happens to you tonight at 11. Victims of Hurricane Sandy are still trying to put their lives back together 2 months after the initial devastation. Michelle Obama's bangs reportedly donated $5,000 to the relief effort. City under siege. Day 12 of our city at the mercy of a street gang performing random and violent acts of cosmetology by attacking citizens, pinning them down, and giving them bangs. Afraid to leave their homes, residents feel they are being held hostage, giving new meaning to the term gang bang. Stay tuned to our 10 o'clock hour. We'll exclusively discuss why Michelle's bangs are the only news item we will be discussing for many, many weeks to come. Tune into Oprah's new network, The Bang Network. All bangs, all the time. Oprah has the first exclusive interview with the bangs themselves. And don't miss our month-long series on why a woman's appearance is put under such constant and intense scrutiny. On the day set aside to honor and remember civil rights leader and Nobel Peace Prize recipient, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., as well as the 50th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech, as well as the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, Barack Obama, our nation's first black president, was sworn into his second term. But it was his wife, First Lady Michelle Obama, who was the only one to do anything to make the day historic by wearing bangs.
That was my girl, Gina Blaurock. This is Speaking of Poetry. I love that poem. That was me laughing in the background. It is such an exciting way, such a jovial way to introduce our guest for today. He is a super fantastic member of the poetry community at large, but he is based right here in Ohio. His name is Vertigo Zize. Xavier. Vertigo, how are you doing?
I am doing well.
That is fantastic. Did I say your name correctly? Let me just, you know, get that square right now.
It can be pronounced either Zian or Chan. I usually go with Zian.
Zian. And do you use Xavier or Xavier?
Xavier.
Okay. So I did not get that right. Vertigo, Zian, Xavier.
I hear all kinds of variations of it. I've gotten used to it.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Speaking of Poetry. I'm so glad you were able to take some time off to chill with me today. My guest co-host is Gina Blaurock.
Hey, what's up?
Who just read that
poem. Hello.
Yes, and I know this is a very busy night for you because you've got some things going down yet this evening, right?
Yep, I am at Karma Cafe in Canton, Ohio, where we are having the First Friday Poetry Spectacular tonight, including a Lake Effect National Poetry Slam Team qualifier and the release of Alexis Ruelle's Letter to 20.
That is awesome. And I would like to point out that Alexis Ruelle was our guest on Speaking of Poetry a couple weeks ago. So this is her big moment. Since she is a poet I'm very fond of, Vertigo, I just want to thank you for working with her.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful, wonderful book. I was so delighted to get to put it together.
That is awesome. Well, since we've mentioned that, let's go ahead and break down the many things that you do for people who may not know you, because you are doing a lot of things. Right? Look, he's thinking about it right now.
I know.
You are a small publisher, right? So you have a small press?
I've been running a small press since 1997.
Right. Called the Poet's Haven, right?
Yes.
See, my memory sometimes fails me, Vertigo, but today, so far, it's going great. So we've got, you know, small press in one corner. Mm-hmm. So in another corner, what do we got?
Towards the end of 2011, beginning of 2012, I took over as manager of the Northeast Ohio, Cleveland area National Poetry Slam Team, now called Lake Effect Poetry.
Great name.
Oh, yeah. It appropriate name for that part of the country. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it was always Cleveland Slam, and then it was Dragon Inc. for a while. But when I took over, I said, you know, it's more than just Cleveland. Let's describe the whole area. Right. So since we're all in the Lake Effect snow belt, it's Lake Effect Poetry.
Right, yeah. Right. And everyone in Ohio who hears that name, we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
They know exactly what part of the state that's in. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, yeah.
There's a marker on Route 77 where the snow belt begins. It's just a little bit north of where I'm standing right now.
Right. And so we got that. We got small press. We've got manager of Lake Effect Poetry. And now we also have another thing that you're doing with poetry, too.
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
The event you're planning tonight? Don't you plan events regularly?
Oh, yeah. We've got two monthly events here at Karma Cafe now.
See, look, he's doing so much. It just seems like your regular life, right?
I always make the joke that, you know, poetry is cheaper than a drug habit and a much more sustainable high.
Right. I
surround myself with poetry and the arts, and I never have to come down, so.
I really, really love that. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Always feeding the soul.
Absolutely, right. And other things, too. Poetry feeds other things, too. Egos and, you know, the soul, the heart, you know, the mind. So it's doing all of that. But the reason why I wanted to have you on Speaking of Poetry, Vertigo, is because you are such a mover and shaker, especially in that part of Ohio, that I needed to, you know, introduce you to my listeners, because it's just awesome. And especially what you're doing, I think, with Poetry Slam too. Of course, that was the thing that made my radar that's how I, you know, got a chance to become familiar with who you are. And, sometimes with Cleveland has a very long history in the Poetry Slam community, but sometimes it's active on the national level and sometimes Cleveland's not active on the national level. And so, it was great, you know, when you took it over and you said, let's broaden this outside of Cleveland. Let's, you know, capture this whole region of the state. Everyone who I talked to or heard talking about it talked about how such wonderful and positive thing that it is.
Our team last year kind of gave us a rule. They said no drama allowed. Mm. So
that is a good rule.
That's a difficult rule, though. Poets seem to tend towards drama.
Yeah, but as long as you can keep everybody from being at each other's throats, you're all good.
Right.
And there's been some major drama in past years.
Yeah.
what usually caused other organizations to break down. So,
yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've been working around poets for a long time. Poets, artists in general, we can be a little temperamental sometimes, mm-hmm. Vertigo. I mean, we can. And so when you have someone who can kind of, you know, keep, you know, all of the moods and the attitudes and the, you know, expectations, because some things come from people's higher expectations than others, when you can keep that, all those things in balance, you know, then you're up for a really smooth ride. And so sometimes it takes a special person who can, like, mm-hmm. you know, navigate all of those things and still give people opportunities to shine. I'm going to ask you to keep it right there. Family is our first school in the game of life, and learning how to solve the big and small problems every family faces is more important than ever. Show host Yolanda Robinson is author of There's Magic in the Blackberry Patch and is a recipient of numerous honors for her work with children and families. Robinson brings to online radio a compassionate and loving approach to the tough issues facing American families. All in Our Family broadcasts live Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So, Vertigo, I think this might be a really good moment to hear one of your poems. Because with all the other things you do, even though you say you don't get a chance to write often, you are a poet as well.
Yeah, I do still write, usually humorous and satirical stuff. So, okay.
Let's hear one.
True story. This started out as a Facebook status but got a little bit too long. There's a standoff in the kitchen. The human is fixing sesame teriyaki noodles and meatballs. To his right, the dog. Meatball? I smell meatball. Give me meatball. Meatball? I smell meatball. To his left, the cat. I do not care what you are making, but you will be giving it to me. I am waiting. If you do not give me what you are making, I will be forced to use my claws. The human reaches for the minced onion. The cat headbutts him in the kneecap and digs a claw into his ankle. The dog smells meatball and takes a step forward. The cat jumps off the human's foot and claws the dog's face. Both creatures land in their original positions. The standoff resumes. Cat, you aren't planning on eating that, are you? It will be mine. Dog, meatball? 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 The human removes the meatballs from the microwave and starts to drop them into the noodles. Meatball! The dog tries to knock the human over, so the last meatball falls to the floor. The cat moves faster and knocks the falling beef sphere under the baby gate that keeps the dog out of the basement. The cat is certain to twitch her tail in the dog's face as she crawls under the gate to claim her prize. Taking note, the human removes two slices of American cheese from the refrigerator. As he opens the wrappers, the cat runs back into the kitchen, her meatball forgotten. Cheese is mine! Cheese is mine! Turns out, the dog likes cheese too, and is delighted to wolf down two slices, sharing none with the cat. The human then transfers the noodles from the saucepan into a bowl, gets a pair of chopsticks from the drawer, and retires with his lunch to the computer room.
All right. As a person who has a dog, that is so my dog. Like, he's just so focused on it. What made you write that poem?
True story.
Go ahead.
I was making food. The cat was on one side of me. The dog was on the other. Tabitha and Brandy. And it's exactly what happened.
Tabitha and Brandy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I want to know is, did the cat actually get the meatball that went under the baby gate, or did the cat abandon the meatball and you find it crusted and decayed weeks later?
I ended up going down after she came back up wanting cheese and picked it up.
Okay.
We have two steps and then a landing and then the rest of the steps. Her food and water bowl were right there on that landing, so I was able just to step down there and grab it to see where it was.
Awesome. Well, Vertigo, I really need to ask you, how do you do all of the things that you do? Like, there's a lot that you're doing, and a lot of it is focused on poetry. So, and I haven't even asked you what else you have going on in life. Like, do you have a 9-to-5? Do you have a family? I mean, do you have a shopping addiction? Like, do you go to the tracks or something? Hit the casinos? Like, what? Like...
That's the fun one. I lost my 9-to-5 at the end of July, a week before going to National Poetry Slam. The warehouse I was working at closed down. I am still looking for a new permanent 9-to-5.
Okay. So you've had some extra time on your hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's given me a little bit. Well, you think, oh, I'm not working a day job. That means I've got all this extra time, but you spend more hours looking at the job boards trying to find work than what you actually did at your 9-to-5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's 100% true.
Looking for a job is a full-time job.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But the ability to shift my sleep schedule around so that I can stay up for 36 hours or so and then binge sleep for 14 has allowed me to get a little bit ahead on getting some books ready, I've got some anthologies on the way this year. We're resurrecting the old magazine, making it an anthology series.
Okay. So it sounds like even though you don't have a regular 9-to-5, you have plenty of things to do. And it sounds like your small press is benefiting from that. The extra time, I mean.
To a degree, yes.
Okay.
It's worked both ways. So.
Okay. Well, let's get into that. I'm so glad you're here because, well, first of all, I need to ask you this. This is about slam. Do you participate in poetry slams?
I'll be the sacrifice from time to time. I rarely compete just because I don't have the abundance of material necessary to be a regular competitor.
Okay.
The last time I did actually compete in a slam, I surprisingly did win. I'm still owed a feature from Writing Nights Press at some point for winning their slam.
You sound so surprised.
Hmm?
You sound so surprised.
Surprised. Well, I was up against some people that I would consider genuine poetry writers, people that can write 3 or 4 poems a day and not blink. And I just went up there and did a couple comedy routines, and the liked what I did.
See, were the other poets in it? Were they doing a lot of dramatic pieces?
Some of them, yes. Most of them, it was more stuff that adhered to academic poetry forms rather than being geared towards performance.
And so, of course, comedy is so much. It's just natural performance, you know, wrapped in comedy. You know, I think oftentimes in slams when you have poem after poem after poem that leaves an audience nowhere near laughter,
right,
that when you can get up there and make them laugh in a way that seems effortless for you, it is usually beneficial. So good job with that. Yeah.
Our team last year came back from Rust Belt all in agreement that the trick to winning a major slam was only 5% writing, 95% performance. So,
you know, I think that in some areas that may be true. See, now we're about to get into the debate right now, but we're going to have to hold that thought, Gina and Vertigo. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM. Get your lucky numbers at 9:11 a.m. Monday through Friday at their new time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. We got more with Vertigo up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We don't just talk. We don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment. with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Sure, what is it?
I want to tell you about someone being cyberbullied.
What is cyberbully?
Cyberbully is when someone is being bullied over the internet and this person can't take it and is thinking about suicide.
Have you told someone?
No, I haven't told anyone but you. It's not my business, is it?
Yes, it is. Tibbet says it's okay to tell the proper authorities. You must tell.
You're right. It is okay to tell, and I might even be able to save her life.
Good, because if you don't tell, I will, because cyberbullying is abuse.
Thanks. I'm going to tell now.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Miss Vernell on Speaking of Poetry with my guest host Gina Blaurock and my guest Vertigo Zion Xavier.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, you may join in on the conversation by calling 1-877-932-9766. Oh man, I think I did that right. I think I said his name right. Did I say your name right, Vertigo?
I believe you did.
That is awesome. I felt very proud of myself. Gina, what were we just talking about?
Vertigo had just mentioned how his team came back from Nats believing that it was 5% writing, 95% performance.
Ah, yes, Vertigo. That is a very controversial statement to make. And there have been many times after a poetry slam on a regional or national event where I would feel the exact same way. But you cannot let that guide what you do.
Right.
Do not let that guide, you know, your poets with what they do. In that, performance is huge at the National Poetry Slam and Women of the World and IWIPS and Rust Belt, you know. But for me, I have to believe that it starts with the poem.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying? How am I writing it? How am I crafting this story? And, you know, what I like to, you know, I like to think of this. This is how I look at it, Vertigo. And you tell me if you would agree, okay?
Okay.
Is that sometimes I feel like if you have a great poem and the performance is not what many common people would think of as engaging or theatric or dramatic, and you compare that with a poem that on paper may not have a lot of literary merit to it, but has a performance that is out of this world, that poem may, you know, score better in a slam.
Probably 90% of the time, the better performance will score better.
Right. So
largely dependent upon the judges. I have a tendency to recruit judges with a more academic background. So they'll know if the words they're hearing don't have anything to say.
Right.
I know a lot of other slam managers. I'm not a fan of the phrase slam master. I know a lot of other slam managers try to do the same, try to get poets that actually have you know, qualification to be a judge. But, you know, at any given slam, half your audience is going to be there. Half your audience won't be familiar with poetry at all. So,
okay. I'm going to put a pin in that and come back to that, what you just shared, because that I think that is controversial as well. Vertigo, you are full of controversy.
I'm pushing buttons.
You are. I'm going to go back to that and back to what I'm saying about these two dichotomies of a performance versus a poem. I firmly believe that if you take a very well-crafted poem, a very good poem, with an out-of-this-world performance, that poem will more than likely score better than a poem that has an equally good performance but not very much literary merit. That's what I believe. I believe if you've got both going on, you know, if you got both going on, you know, it will triumph over those who come to the slam stage with a poem that, you know, on paper just does not get the job done. That's my thing. That's my theory. I have to cling to that theory to have any sanity in this world of poetry slam, Vertigo. So if you disagree, don't tell me. Because I want to be.
Don't destroy her world.
Right. Don't destroy my world. I want to be blissfully happy there.
Right. But it can go either way, all depending upon who you have judging.
That is true. I mean, and this is my thing. Slams can, I mean, and sometimes the judges, they